And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, Boomer, you got, remember that clip we did last Thursday? The new favorite clip of all time, I think. I mean, we've had a few. I had one last year that I actually played a couple of times, like two or three times in one week. It was so good. But this one, I think, says it all. So the next part of the Triple Dipper, by the way, I'm calling it Back to the Basics. What I mean by that is, okay, so we're starting to see the results of the election. House is going to wind up having what appears to be a bare majority. I see it, thanks. What appears to be a bare majority. We're going to be able to do some accountability issues. We're going to be able to begin, you know, checking on the ability to stop bad legislation. But we're just 2 years away from another election. And we cannot go down the same old feckless road. So what do you do? Well, earlier, if you heard my monologue, you heard me talk about the fact that in 1864, Abraham Lincoln knew that he had to do something. He had to shake things up. The establishment could not stand Ulysses S. Grant. But Abraham Lincoln looked at what was successful. Where were the successful campaigns? Where were the winning battles? Who was in charge of them? And by and large, he kept coming back to Grant. He looked at what worked, and he decided to put it in place. And so in March of 1864, for the first time since George Washington, they created the three-star general position and made Grant the commander of all Union forces. And they wound up winning the war. Now, that being said, pivot then to politics. We can't keep on keeping on with the same old nothingness. Maybe you look at what works, what has resonated with people, what stuck out as a win, and who might have been in charge, and then you go clone that. That's what we got to do. We got to say, okay, that worked. Why did it work? Well, it worked because of this. Did people get around it? Yes, they did. Who was in charge of it? Who thought that up? This person, that person. Go do the assessment, and in the end of it all, you'll get to have a speech like the one that we heard just the other day from Governor Ron DeSantis. Play that thing.
Today, after 4 years, the people have delivered their verdict. Freedom is here to stay. Thanks to the overwhelming support of the people of Florida, we not only won election, we have rewritten the political map. We reject woke ideology. We fight the woke in the legislature. We fight the woke in the schools. We fight the woke in the corporations. We will never, ever surrender to the woke mob. Florida is where woke goes to die.
Oh, my gosh. Do I love that quote? Yes, I do. Florida is where woke goes to die. What an awesome rallying cry. And Boomer's over here. I wish the camera was panned back in time to see you. Just,
oh yeah, next time. I'm just going crazy over here.
Hands just beating the air there. I got a caller on the line. Let me jump on that real quick before we run out of time. Line one, Mark from Birmingham. Hey, Mark, Phil Williams, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. Yeah, this is at Central High School alumni. I've probably called you one other time before. I'm over in England.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thanks, Mark. What's on your mind today, bud?
Yeah. Yeah, you were in that interview with that lady. You were talking about what got the youth to come out and vote Democrat. And you may have talked about this before, but in my mind, you talk about dirty politics. When Biden promised tuition forgiveness, knowing that he could not do it, but made the promise anyway, knowing it would probably take a while to get through the court, at least just long enough to get the vote of the young people. And yeah. That's just makes my skin crawl every time I think about that.
Yeah, Yeah, it was absolutely.
You don't think that affected the vote of the young people? Oh man, he's going to give us some free money here.
Oh yeah, I think absolutely it was. I think it was shameless. I think it was a vote buying scam. I think he knew all along it wasn't going to stand. I mean, they've got lawyers who understand the Constitution working in the White House, but nonetheless, it was a pretty hairy deal. Hey, listen, Mark, I got one other call on the line. Hey, man,
no problem.
Thanks for the call, bud. Let me jump over there real quick. I got about a minute. So, Boomer, let me grab that line, too, while I got a chance. Robert from Athens. Hey, Robert, Phil Williams, how you doing?
I'm okay. I wanted to address this get back to basis thing. We really are ignoring the elephant that occupies all rooms, and that's the ultra-rich, the corporatists, the people who make the huge donations to all of the Democratic Party and about, 87% of the Republican Party. I mean, we cast our vote, but then our politicians are bought right out from under us.
Well, I mean, you say that. I mean, I get it. There's times when I watch the campaign donations flooding from somebody that you think has no idea what's going on with the average American citizen, or for that matter, doesn't care. But at the same time, they've got to buy ads. So what's the balance for you?
I think we need to have really strict limits as to who can donate, because, you know, like this woke culture, it came from the corporatist ultra rich. They were trying to defeat the Occupy Wall Street movement back in 2008, and they invented this.
Well, maybe so. I mean, the reality is the Supreme Court's already ruled that campaign donations are very often considered to be a form of freedom of speech. So it's a tough nut. And I'm not for it. I think George Soros money is tainted. But is my music playing already? All right. Hey, Robert, thanks for the call, man. We are up against the break. The music's already playing. Good call. Keep listening. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back to the basics, that is. And we're back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. When I say that, I mean we are down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville. We're from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. We got parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure, blanketing the northern half of the state. Hey, listen, this part I'm doing right now, I'm calling it Back to the Basics. So first of all, by the way, I'll point out that I've got quite a few texts. If you want to text in, we'd love to have your message, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT is the number. Raven from Russellville is one of the few that I've not had a chance to get to yet. He says, the Republicans' message was, we have no message. Yes, roger that. Raven, you are so correct. So what would we want to see? What has worked? What things do we need to get something out there on and say, here's who we are? If you vote for the conservative candidate, this is what you'll get. Now, there's going to be some debate among the membership because, like, for instance, I've got an article here from National Review, dated November 10th, so it's about 4 days old. Apparently, Senator Tom Cotton, who I have a great deal of respect for, Senator Tom Cotton just came out with a new book. The title of the book, I just lost it somewhere in the article. Why didn't I highlight that piece? But his book is literally a call to renew the manner in which we handle ourselves in terms of being, having strength and having projection and having the ability to develop peace through strength. So he's considered one of the most serious foreign policy and defense thinkers in Congress. He's a former infantry officer, Ranger qualified, combat veteran himself. he and a few others like Mike Gallagher, Dan Sullivan, Dan Crenshaw, Jim Banks, they're considered triple threats on this issue is what National Review says. Triple threats because, one, they are combat veterans. They know how to put their service into the proper context. They don't weaponize it. They just rely on it, and they can give you the in-the-trenches perspective. Number two, they're often considered to be thought leaders. They have intellectual horsepower among their own caucus. They're able to articulate their ideas and do it clearly. And then third, they typically formulate and attach themselves to good, sound policies. They're not providing wingding policies or going so populist that they forget that sometimes you got to have depth. And so it's important to look at what they've got. What is it they're proposing here? His book, here it is. I just found the title. His book is called Only the Strong. Only the Strong. I got to get a copy of it. So Tom Cotton's book, Only the Strong, it's a manifesto, the article says, for the Republican Party and America to rediscover a revitalized Reaganism, a posture on the world stage whereby a confident and muscular U.S. is forward deployed both diplomatically and militarily, but yet not reckless or wasteful in the application of power. So what he's basically saying is, we're not afraid to do what we need to do, but everybody else better be afraid of what we're going to do. Everybody else better understand that we're the biggest dog on the block, and we have done all that it takes to be the biggest dog on the block, and we will not waste that power, we'll not squander it, but if it requires forward projection, we'll do it. And if it requires peace through strength, we'll go there. It's a Reaganistic look at America's posture in the world, which is not there right now, by the way. So there is an isolationist portion of the Republican Party, and I get it. I hear it all the time on Tucker Carlson. I agree with Tucker Carlson on 99% of what he says, except that he's constantly so isolationist that he forgets that sometimes you have no choice but to be forward-thinking and forward-leaning or leaning forward in the foxhole, if you will. Now, I'm not talking about, let's go fight some more wars and be the police state. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is you cannot pull back inside your own lines that you forget that sometimes being the big dog bears a responsibility. And oh, by the way, that's also how you secure your own posture in the world. So first things first, back to basics. One of them is I think we have to provide those who are concerned about America's foreign policy and military strength, we have to provide them something better than what they have right now. We have to provide them with a plan that says, here's who we are. And here's who we're going to be. And here's what we're going to do with our military. And we're getting rid of woke, and we're upping the recruiting, and we're going to focus in on combat skills, and we're going to provide lethality while also providing a living wage, and we're going to wind up having the best military in the world. No one's going to question us ever again. We're going to rise up and make China and Russia sit back on their heels, kind of scared to make a move because of who we are. And right now, we don't seem to have that level. All right, that's one. Foreign and military policy, we have got to have a plan that includes a robust view of who we are in the eyes of the world. There's that. Then there's the whole thing about dealing with the culture wars. You know, one of the things that we really thought was going to galvanize voters was a beating back of the culture wars, wokeness, if you will. We really thought, I mean, back to the basics, we really thought, why would we not think this? We really thought that if you got out there and said, we refuse to sexualize kindergartners, which shouldn't have to be said. Those Democrats want drag queen story hours in your school. We believe that parents should have a say in their children's education and that it should not include, you know, gender identity in schools. We really believe, but you know what happened? No one in D.C. was willing to say, here's what we will do if you will elect me a majority. McConnell was not willing to do it. Why? Because he is squishy as a wet sponge. And yet down in Florida, that's exactly what DeSantis did. And what happened? We flipped counties in Florida as Republicans that have never been voted red before, ever. We secured with massive majority. I mean, literally, you've got Governor Ron DeSantis winning by 20 percentage points. Good Lord, 20 points. That's a rout, y'all. That's like having University of Alabama playing a high school football team. It's that big of a rout. So you heard a minute ago we played the Florida where woke goes to die. The other thing that has to happen, is we have to tell the American people, here's why we're going to preserve culture. Here's how we're going to do it. If you vote in a Republican majority, here's what will happen. Well, this article I've got from National Review, that's two in a row from National Review, dated November 13th, yesterday. Title of it is, Where Woke Goes to Die, How DeSantis Led the Way in the Culture War. So the first one I had was Tom Cotton, Foreign Policy, Military Strength, Reaganistic in Style. The next one is a recitation of the things that DeSantis did and did well in Florida on the culture wars. It reminds us that in March, the Republican Florida legislature passed what was really called the Parental Rights in Education Act. All it did was keep teachers from instructing kindergartners through third grade students about gender identity and sexuality. Of course, all of a sudden it was called the Don't Say Gay Bill by the liberals, and they came out hard against it, and DeSantis did not waver. He did not once waver. And then when Walt Disney executives criticized it, well, Walt Disney's a heavyweight in state politics in Florida. What did he do? DeSantis retaliated against them by saying maybe it's time for them to lose some of their special incentives under the law. Whoa. I mean, you talk about a shot across the bow. And you know what? Disney knew he would do it. Disney knew he would do it. He also won the PR fight on immigration. I mean, he's flying asylum seekers up to Martha's Vineyard, making waves. And according to a Telemundo news poll, DeSantis had a 51% to 44% lead over Crist, his opponent, among Hispanics. There was a bilingual pollster, apparently, who conducted a survey that explained, he said, there's lots of Hispanic voters in the state who really like that governor's style, the strong man who won't back down. See, people see strength. They will rally around strength. And they'll rally around a plan. And they rally around results. McConnell, plan? No. Results? No. What do we have? On to transgenderism, the article also points out DeSantis has been utterly fearless. He stated that in children, most dysphoria resolves itself by the time they become adults. He says it's inappropriate to be doing basically what is considered to be genital mutilation on children. I so agree. How many governors came out and said that? Now we have some like Governor Ivey who signed a bill. But where was she when the bill was going through the legislature? Where was she in terms of calling for it? Send it to me, y'all. I'll sign that bad boy. No. Where has she been since then? A little quiet. Same is true for a lot of governors around the nation that are dealing with the issue. They're choosing to be quiet because they just don't want to deal with the backlash. Not DeSantis. He appointed the state medical board that banned doctors from prescribing puberty blockers and hormones and gender transition surgeries. Kept his word on pro-life principles. Kept his word on the pandemic. Kept his state open. I'll get to that more in a minute. Bottom line for this one, it says, cultural war issues are kitchen table issues. And Ron DeSantis has proven time and time again that in response to popular demand, he is willing to play ball and if need be, to play dirty. I'm just saying. That's good stuff. I got a caller on the line, Boomer. I'll take it right now. That's good. That's a good stop point. Let me grab that line one. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. How you doing, bud?
Hey, great show, you and Boomer.
Thanks,
great having Stephanie Smith on as usual. You're very much right. Mitch McConnell needs to retire. I don't know, 10 years ago. The man is useless. He's part of the. He's the face of the weak, feckless Republican Party. To all the Republicans listening, conservatives maybe, who didn't show up at the polls last Tuesday, actually no, Alabama conservatives showed up strongly.
Yeah.
But the ones who didn't, if you can't vote for a compelling candidate, if you can't vote for a compelling candidate, it's pretty easy to vote against Drag Queen Story Hour. It's pretty easy to vote against watching your 401k and your IRA disappear right before your eyes. It's pretty easy to vote against these idiots who are letting people in the country by the thousands and millions just to make them lifelong Democrats someday. Vote against something if you can't get off your butts and go vote for something.
Well, that's a great point. You know what? There's a lot to be said. I mean, people go to the polls all the time to vote against something. And I think that's one of the reasons why Trump lost is there were people who were voting against Trump. They weren't voting for Biden. But nonetheless, great call, Sparky.
Well,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I did it back in 16. I didn't know much about Donald Trump, but I knew I was voting against Hillary Clinton because she's a contemptible criminal. And yeah, you're right. The younger liberals showed up in great numbers to vote against Donald Trump. And sadly, younger disillusioned liberals showed up last Tuesday to vote for, I don't know, transgender wonderfulness and poverty and dependence upon government. Whatever makes them feel happy, I guess. I don't get it. I can't agree with it.
Or whatever will allow them to continue working from home part-time, I guess. Anyway.
Right.
I don't get it. Sparky, thanks for the call, man. Up against the break right now. But as always, great commentary. Okay, Boomer, I tell you what, take it to the break. We'll come right back and wrap this up. I've given you two things so far. In the back to the basics, in the agenda that needs to come together, there needs to be something that tells America why to feel proud about their posture on the international stage. Back home, there needs to be something that's firm and solid and tells them what we're going to do to push back against the culture wars. Coming up next, I've got something about what happens in terms of government picking winners and losers, and how should we respond to the pandemic? Well, I'll tell you how voters responded. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. We're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Top of the hour, we're going to switch gears and head to what I call international flashpoints. We're going to start off with a discussion with my friend Chris May, who happens to be Boomer Daddy. And he's got a ministry in Ukraine. He's been on the show probably four or five times to give us updates on the ground of what he's hearing from his friends and associates over there. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a very interesting conversation. And then we'll talk about some other flashpoints around the world and how they play into our foreign policy. But for right now, let me do this. I got a caller on the line two. Yep, I sure do. Adam from New Hope. Adam, how you doing today?
Doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I wanted to add to the agenda that Republicans should push is definitely the energy independence.
Oh yeah,
because we're seeing our dependency on, you know, Russian oil. We lost 700,000 barrels of oil from that. The Saudis, they wanted to flex. You know, they want to cut production. OPEC wants to cut production. And I think the Republicans could say, yeah, we want cleaner, more efficient, yada, yada, yada. But look, why don't we expand our capacity? Why don't we burn one of our barrels of oil, not a Saudi barrel or a Iranian or Venezuelan barrel of oil, you know? And then you could get the trade union vote. You could get Pennsylvania back. You say, look, we're going to expand these refineries. That's going to employ all you steam fitters, pipe fitters, electricians, all you guys, you know. Say, look, I mean, we need to build more refinery capacity, you know. See, I'm a contractor. You know, if you're running diesel equipment, you're not towing diesel equipment with an electric truck at the moment.
No.
So the thing is, you could say, look, we're going to build a parallel, more efficient economy. But right now, unfortunately, we got to burn oil. And
I think your comments,
that cheap,
I think your comments are spot on,
cheap,
Adam.
That's better. If you keep that cheap, that is better for everybody. Everybody, poor folk, middle class, everybody.
Listen, man, hey,
let me
jump in there, Adam, before you filibuster the rest of the show. But I think you're right. I think you're absolutely no, you're fine. You're absolutely fine, and you're spot on. By the way, I mean, so yeah. If I had to pick a list of things that had to be on an agenda to run on Energy independence has got to be on it. And you're right. I don't know why they weren't saying, we're doing fracking. We're going to wind up, you know, doing the Keystone Pipeline. We're going to wind up, you know, bringing more jobs to the coal fields. And they just chose not to. I mean, they it was a lame attempt to sort of say, yeah, we'll do better. What does that even mean? And I think you're right. Yeah. You just named about five things that could have been said specifically and could have done it. Hey, Adam, thanks for the phone call. Yeah. Appreciate you very much. Thanks for holding on during the break. All right, take care, man.
Thank you. You have a good one.
You too. Yeah, before I run out of time, let me point out a couple other things, too, that are worth considering. So number one, I talked about foreign and military policy. It's got to be robust and Reagan-esque. It's peace through strength. We've got to also see the ability to push back against the culture war and to stand your ground when you do, because the culture war opponents are rabid and they will come after you hard. You better have some chutzpah, you better have some backbone. The third thing, I'll go ahead and just jump on what Adam said. Absolutely. Energy independence, gotta have it. Very specific, by the way. Adam's right. You gotta name it. Don't just go, we're gonna get back to lowering the price of gas. No, tell them exactly what you're gonna do. Remind them of what we were doing just a few years ago and why it worked. And tell everybody you're going to see a drop in your price at the pump because of this, which is going to mean a drop in the price of goods at the store because of this. The next thing you got to do is you got to deal with the economy. How are you going to right the ship? How are you going to correct the supply chain disruptions and get prices at the store on milk and bread and diapers and all the things it takes to live? How are you going to get them down? If you don't have a plan for that, then you don't need to be in office in the first place. And then here's one of the other things. I think you have to look, like I said earlier, you have to look at what worked. Article on Fox News. It appears that governors that took a hard stand against draconian lockdowns during the pandemic did really well at the polls. So governors Ron DeSantis, Kristi Noem of South Dakota, Kim Reynolds of Iowa, Jared Polis of Colorado, Brian Kemp of Georgia, they all cruised to re-election in Tuesday's midterms, winning by an average of 18 points. The margins of victory for the anti-lockdown governors stood in stark contrast, says Fox News, to their narrower victories in 2018 when the same five candidates won by an average margin of 3.7 points. Listen, I'm just saying, we got to get back to the basics. We got to have strength. We got to be willing to be specific. And we got to lay it out in a way that it gets down to the kitchen table where people care. And if we don't do that, 2024 is going to be a rough election. All right, folks, switching gears as we get back, heading to the flashpoints around the world, starting with Ukraine. Stay tuned. Be right back.